Hello and welcome to the Anchor Faith Message Podcast. Enjoy this message.
1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to talk about over fear today. All right. I think in the times that we are and the revival that we're in, I keep saying we're in revival. And I say that because number one, I need you to get in your spirit, man. Number two, I need you to not think that revival is having multiple meetings every night. Okay. There's an awakening happening within our community through you. And I was talking to Wayne, actually. Wayne and I were having a conversation in the cafe, and he was talking to me about something out of the Book of Kings. And I'm like, Wayne, that's really good. I said, that'll preach, and I think I'm going to preach that Sunday. My gosh, it's good. You know, it's kind of like in my spirit. I'm going to just unload that thing. I actually thought about preaching it tonight, but I'm like, no, that's a Sunday message. That's right. That's a Sunday message. I think I'm going to pull that out Sunday. Amen. I thank God for the body of Christ. You know, iron sharpens iron. You know, God can speak to us because we're all in the same family. We're here to do the vision. And God could get something by you that you could say something to me. And God's like, boom, you need to preach that. Now, it's going to grow by the time I get on here on Sunday. But I'm telling you, man, I mean, it's amazing what we do when we come together. You know, when everybody brings their fit. Every joint supplies each other. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's so awesome that we could come together. You know, you could be a carrier of a word that needs to be released and you just hadn't talked to me yet. Right? Because God would use you in your own personal study to plant a seed in me that I would preach it through the gift of pastor or apostle. Amen. It's going to happen Sunday. I believe that. It's going to happen Sunday. And so anyway, we're here in 1 Kings chapter 17 and the days we're living in. And man, this kind of hit my spirit because I actually have a list of about 7 sermons right now that's just like on the seat. You know, I told you I'm in this moment again, like in time where God's just like, here they are and check in with me and see when I release them. Right? You know, because we were in the season of growth and development, equipping the saints those 3 years and before, a lot of teaching, line upon line, precept upon precept. I mean, I got into like, I became a serious pastor. That's like crazy. Remember when we went through the currency of the kingdom, right? Seeing green, and it was like 13 weeks. Wow. I mean, who preaches on a subject that long? Teachers do, or those apt to teach, and God needed us to learn that at that time. But man, I'm back in that moment like when we first started the church where it's like, what do you want to say today? What do you got? What you got? What you got? Right? And man, he's got something to say to you tonight. Then it said, the word of the Lord came to him saying, now I've got some stuff, but there's some stuff I've not unpacked yet. So we're going to unpack it together. Can we do that? Okay. So then the word of the Lord came to me saying, arise and go here. Can anybody pronounce that word? Great. Which belongs in Sidon, right? Whatever. And stay there. Behold, I have commanded. What's he done? I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now, who is this? This is Elijah, right? The prophet. And why is he having to go to a widow to provide for him? Well, because the Lord has spoken to him and says, now listen, Israel's not obeying me. The king is not honoring me. He's doing a lot of stuff wrong. So in essence, I must bring sanctions to the land. Now, what is a sanction? Sanction is this thing that governments do against other governments so that it creates pressure, economic pressure, or pressure so that they will change their behavior in their relationship with other governments. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we as a nation will put sanctions on other nations if they're not behaving properly or not treating their people properly. There's ways that without going to war, physical war, you know, sending over bombers and sending over troops, there's other ways that you can create pressure. And one of those are economic sanctions. Well, in essence, Jesus decided, the Lord, okay, he's decided that he's going to create a sanction on Israel because of their behavior and not honoring him. And what was the hardship that he was creating? It was an economic issue or an agricultural sanction. In essence, he says, they need rain for their crops. I'm not going to send it. You pray Elijah so the rain doesn't come. Now, at the beginning of the chapter, when he prays this prayer, he goes off and there's water flowing because, you know, water's been in the land and stuff, you know, and it's been raining and he's by this brook. And while he's sitting there, ravens are showing up every day and bringing him food. They go to Chick-fil-A, they go to Burger King. I don't know where they're going each day, but they're picking stuff up, right? And they are the first, you know, what's that called? Grub, grab. What's y'all's?
DoorDash,
yeah. Right. These ravens are the first DoorDash. Really? I mean, the Lord's like, I'm gonna have delivery. Yeah. Just sit right here, I'll get it delivered to you. Yeah. Right? So all of a sudden the brook dries up. Why? Because no rain. Every day he's praying, drinking from the brook, getting his food from DoorDash, right? And you know, that thing's going pretty well until all of a sudden the brook dries up and the Lord's like, no more provision here. You know, the DoorDash has lost their business. There is no more food for them to pick up for you. So at this point, I'm sending you somewhere else. Now, he tells him, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he has to leave where he's at to go. So it says he arose and went to this town. And when he came to this gate of the city, behold, the widow. Now, what are the chances there she is at the time he shows up? 100% is the chance, because when God ordains stuff, I said when God ordains stuff, are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, the next few things here is going to blow your mind, right? Because now think about it. We're going to play a little bit back and forth. Get yourself in Elijah's, you know, suit, and then at times put yourself in the widow's suit, okay? So you can identify with both of them as we minister this message today. So he rose, he goes. Now, why is he even going in the first place? Because he was commanded. He said, now you got to get up and go. I got somebody to provide for you. So he's following the voice of God. He doesn't just go because, you know, the brook ran out. He goes because God told him to go. He could have said, now, wait a minute, man. Listen, you're God. I mean, I'm praying against the rain, but you can keep watering this brook. I've read about how Moses struck a rock or spoke to a rock, right? Or struck the rock. He was supposed to speak. He didn't. But struck a rock and water came out. Just tell me to hit this rock, and it'd just keep bubbling up for me, and those ravens are doing a good job, and I don't have to go nowhere. Sometimes we want to stay in the last place of provision and make and tell God he's got to keep doing it that way, when God's like, I got another way. I said, I got another way. Right? But according to the command of God, he goes. He gets at the city gate. This widow's here, and she's doing what? She's gathering sticks. And he calls to her. So there's something about Elijah that, now culturally there's some things going on too, but there's something about Elijah as well, which, you know what he looked like. The Bible tells us what he looked like. You know, he ate locusts and honey, you know, and camel soup, right? So he's not the typical high priest. So culturally speaking, you know, there's something about, you know, him saying something to a woman and asking for something that she's willing to do that. Okay? I don't know that she knows who he is at that point at all. There's no indication she does, right? But there's something culturally that if he asked the woman for something, she was willing to do. But look what she's willing to do. He says, please give me a little water in a jar that I may drink it. So it says, as she was going to get it, he called her and says, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. The next verse says, but she said, Lord, your God lives. As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in a jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in, prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. What are we going to do? Die. We're going to die. I'm going to die. My kids are going to die. Everybody's going to die because we're in famine. Right? Okay. So from there, right, we're going to die. But Elijah said to her, do not fear. Now, before I get to this, let's look at a few things here that takes place. Okay. Before we get into this, the first thing we need to recognize is this. The one God has to aid you may not be where they need to be when you meet them. God told Elijah, I've commanded a widow to provide for you. When he finds her, she doesn't even have faith. But that's the person. Okay, you sent me to this lady here, and she's got this woman's scared. I mean, she's preparing her funeral. Her last meal. Come on, faith people. See, this is the thing about faith people. We love to be around faith. We don't like to not be around faith, right? I mean, have you ever been around somebody not believing God? I mean, it's like a drain. It's like a drag. It's like suck. It's like, come on, man, let's believe God. And yet Elijah never met the woman in his life, hears that she has been commanded. So his mindset of this widow is that she's ready for him. And he first starts out and say, hey, would you get me some water? What? He's testing, right? And she go get some water. Now, here's the thing. Water to her didn't have value because you're not living off water. And what had no value to her, she had no problem doing. But when you start asking for the thing that she perceives as her source, now all of a sudden she can't hear him because she's stuck seeing. And when you get in fear, fear has a problem hearing because it's moved to seeing only. And what was she seeing? Everybody doesn't have any food. People are dying now. The famine's long. The famine's bad. I keep going to my cupboard. I'm a widow. I don't even have a husband to provide for me. He's in the grave. Maybe he died in the famine. It doesn't say. But she's a widow. He's not there to provide. All indication is this son, he's not someone who's working, probably a toddler or, you know, a child in love himself. And so, you know, she's like, we're going to make this. We're going to eat it. And we're going to what? We're going to die. No, listen, I don't know what you think's going down, but as for me and my house, we're going to eat and die. And Elijah is saying, this is the woman commanded? Now, let's go back to that phrase. Is God a liar?
No.
Is God a man that he should lie?
No.
And yet the Lord tells him, I've commanded a widow, which tells me God has talked to her. But now that she's heard him, she ain't acting on it. Which tells me this, there's probably a lot of people that are supposed to be associated to my life and the vision of my life that God has commanded them to do some provision for Anchor Faith Church. But the only reason they're not doing it is because they're still in fear. And sometimes if we don't watch out as faith people who believe God, and we're like, man, I believe God in his word. I won't pull off that thing. If God says it, that settles it, that's it. And then we come across someone that's in fear that doesn't talk faith, but talk circumstance. And we're like, geez, man, all you do is talk about your problem. But if we don't watch out, sometimes that's our provision. And if we don't watch out, we'll start cursing our provision or want to distance ourselves from our provision when what the Lord's saying is get them out of fear into faith so it can be released. Which means I'm going to have to tolerate, I'm going to have to develop some patience with this person now because they have a capacity they don't even know about yet. And it's my assignment to help them see. It's obviously God can speak so we can hear, but we don't always hear when he speaks. So God will send somebody in what you're stuck in called sight. So all of a sudden the man of God in sight can show up and say, give me the bread. Because what you've heard that you're supposed to do for me, you're not getting it. And now I'm saying it. Now here's the thing, because we know this about faith. God's not obligated to tell you the whole story. For provision to flow, for the miraculous to flow, for God to do what he does. For you to stay in the realm of perfect. He doesn't have to give you any alternative details. Just like when he told Adam, Adam, don't eat the fruit. He did not have to say, now listen, someone's coming. And man, he's going to look beautiful. And he is going to do all kinds of stuff to tempt you. He's coming. And he's going to whine and dine and talk. And his words are going to sound so appealing. But don't do what he says. He didn't have to tell him that. Because he's already given him enough power with, don't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether this creature comes or a different creature comes or something else comes along the way. This word has the ability to sustain you for the entirety of your life. See, sometimes we are always looking for a word for a moment when most of the time God's words for us will sustain us for life, that it don't matter what other trial or tribulation comes in, that same word can sustain us in that same moment. It's like, if you just would have told me that was coming, I'd have been ready. I gave you the word that if you'd acted on that, it don't matter what comes. That's when Jesus said, just go to the other side. He didn't say, now listen, you're going to encounter a horrible storm by the time I go to sleep. But don't worry about it. Elijah is a man of faith, so when he gets to the woman, he said that the Lord said, now I've commanded a widow, and he's like, but this ain't exactly what I was thinking. I mean, because if this is the woman, we got a problem, right? But you know what he didn't do? He didn't go, is there another widow in town? Is there another pastor in town? Is there another church in town? Is there another job? Right? No, that wasn't how it went down. No, he's like, that's her. Okay. Well, she's it. So let's keep moving forward. You know, is she heard God like me? Can I have some water? Yeah. Okay, good. Now, hey, as you're going, give me something to eat too. No. You messing with my stuff. I see this all the time as a pastor when people come and partner with the church, you know, want to get involved with the church, you know, or want to do something. You're like, hey, that's great. And then you say, now, how about that? No. You're messing with my weekends. You're touching with my stuff. You know, I got some things to do. Okay. Hallelujah. You say, man, give me a little bread cake. Now, again, in today's society, this would go viral on Facebook, Twitter, you know, Snapchat, TikTok, all of it. Local pastor demands the last food of a widow and her son. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They'd be all lined up outside. That guy asked a widow for the last thing she had in the cupboard. What kind of arrogant, selfish, ungodly? Who does this person think they are asking them for? Because notice what he said. He said, bring me. He didn't say, so how much you got at the house? See, faith doesn't talk or try to investigate how much is there. Faith knows it's always more than enough. So that's why he could say confidently, bring me a little bread, right? I'm just asking for a little bread. Right? Because what you don't know is that you have capacity to provide for me for the amount of time necessary for God, that God needs me to stay here. Because what you don't know is I left a brook that God had the ability to let it keep coming on down, and ravens without fail kept showing up every day feeding me. I know how this thing works. So I'm asking you for bread that you must have, because at the end of the day, man's not going to live on water alone. We're going to need some bread up in there. And so I'm going to need some bread. And what you don't understand is that God's commanded you to provide for me, which means if he's going to provide for me, he's going to provide for you as well. But the world only sees pastors as greedy and taking everybody else's money. And there's believers that believe that too, because they don't know the word. All they do is ask for their money. No, I'm trying to get to you what got to the widow woman. So, moral of the story. If the widow woman says, I said, I got a little bit of flour and a little oil. I'm going to make some bread for me and my boy. We're going to die. Thank you, sir. Goodbye. Then she would have what she said, and she would have ate that bread for the last time with her boy and died. And all the while, when she got to glory land and saw the Lord, he says, why are you here early? Because that preacher man asked me to give up what little bit I had. Now, when I say it, you know, I'm not going to just keep it in the fivefold ministry, okay? Because you are the same way. You're righteous people. So we can say it this way. That righteous man asked me to help them in their need. So Elijah said to her, what's he do? He didn't say, my gosh, you ain't got no faith up in here. He didn't say that, but he did not skirt around the issue. Do not fear. That's your problem. Your problem is not how much bread you have and how much oil you have. That's not your problem. Your problem is you're fearing. And I get it. I get it. It's because of what you see all the time. I get it. I get it. I get it. You, faith people, you know when you're talking to your coworkers or your family members or friends and you're like, I get it. I know. But address it where it's at. Don't be afraid. I get it. I know what they're saying on the news. I know what they're saying about the storm. I know what they're saying about the virus. I know what they're saying about the economy. I know what they're saying. Do not fear. Do not fear. Because what you don't know is you have untapped potential if you'll come out of fear. If you'll come out of fear. He said, do not fear. Go. Do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it. Ooh, shalababasa. Now notice he even helps her. He doesn't say, y'all ain't going to die. He says, I'm not going to be able to change her thinking overnight. Right now, she's going to need a little help. So let me just see if I can get this out of her. Yeah. So if I can just get her to take a baby step of faith, then something supernatural is fixing to happen and it helped get her on over to the next thing. He said, now listen, don't fear. So let's get fear off the table for a second, okay? Go ahead and do what you're thinking. Stay in the course of your thought. You're going to make bread for you and your son, okay? I'm not telling you not to do that. But what I am going to ask is that you make me one first and bring it out to me, and afterwards you may make one for yourselves and for your son. Now notice he's like, mix it up, get it together, make mine first, and don't even make you yours. Bring it to me smelling it. Oh, you don't want to hear this. Why your stomach's growling and your boy's crying because he's hungry, and you're like, you're going to have to wait because the righteous is out here needing something. Optically, this looks horrible. In the natural, right? And the world has a field day with this. But in the realm of the spirit, it is an amazing, awesome opportunity that if missed, guarantees her death of herself and her child. And God's trying to say, quit looking at what you're looking at, but get yourself over to me. Follow what I say. Follow what I say now. Act on what I'm saying. Act on what I'm saying now. Just act on what I'm saying. I know how you feel. I know what's going on with your stomach right now. I know how your child's hurting and wants something. I know you're looking at this cupboard bare, and you know this is it, and you're like, this is it. There is nothing else. It is half. And then this guy shows up at the gate, and he wants to ask me for some water, which I give it to him because at the end of the day, we're going to die, right? So give him the water. Plenty of that at this juncture or wherever that's at, right? But as far as the food, we don't have a whole lot, and now he's asking me for that. Don't fear now. Get fear off the table. I know where you're going, but can you give me first? Well, verse 14. Thus says the Lord God of Israel. For thus says. Now look, he's going to have to get her in faith. Now he's going to let her in on what's going to happen if you'll do it. He says, look at this now. Let's look. He says, don't fear. Go and do as you have said. You're going to make the food. for you and your son, that's what you plan. Do that. But make me a little bread cake first. Bring it out to me. And afterward, you may make for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of your flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. Now, he didn't tell her that at the beginning. Go back. Go back at the beginning. What did he say to her in the very beginning? Go all the way back. Yes, he said to her, please give me a little water. And then he says, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. Now, at that word, she wouldn't act. Yet that word alone would cause what he later on says. He does not have to say, for thus says the Lord, for that to occur. Because he already knows that if she'll provide, she's commanded to provide. She's got the resource. The problem is, a lot of times when we think of resource, we want to get around the millionaire, billionaire. Sometimes I just want to get around the $5, $10 person that's willing to tithe that. And it's like every week they come and keep tithing their tithe. And it doesn't exhaust. And then the next thing you know, God expands them and expands them. Instead of me trying to recruit a millionaire to show up, though they can, don't get me wrong, if they'll do all that God says, that'd be better. But at the end of the day, the greater ones are the ones who will consistently just do with what they have. That all of a sudden, that person been with me for 17 years and they never have ran out of provision for this vision. In fact, they've only had increase. So he didn't have to say anything else. But because he recognizes she's in fear, he says to her, now this is why I'm here. Here's a word of the Lord. Now let's go back to that verse, right? He said, your flour and your oil will not be empty until, now he's giving a time frame, until the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. So, verse 15, she went and she didn't go, hallelujah, Lord's provided for me, and then just sit at the prophet's feet and say, teach me the word. No, she had to act on the word. Because here's the thing. Nothing in the realm of the seen has changed. Nothing. Only one thing actually does change. Her. Her. Nowhere does it say that when she pulled and made that little bread, took it to him. In fact, I can guarantee you what it looked like, okay? Because I know my God. She makes the bread. Nothing changed. She goes back to the cupboard, and guess what? The same amount of oil and the same amount of flour is there. That didn't, she didn't show back up and go, oh, the word of the Lord. Oh my God. Oh, Jesus. I had an encounter with God. Oh my gosh, I'm going home. He said my cupboards would be full. It would be full and would not be empty. And she opens up her thing and, oh, full of flour and full of oil. In fact, I need more vessels. No, she got the word of the Lord. Do this first. And this will take place. So when she went back home, she saw the same amount. Now, do you think the same amount started talking at the house? Oh, you know that it started talking. All of a sudden, she got there and the flower started saying, you're an idiot. You are an idiot right now. This guy, do you see what he's wearing right now? The guy has no money. He's broke. He's wearing camel skin. I mean, the guy is a freak. Really? And you're going to take this little, I mean, all you got is for you and your son. And you're going to take part of that and give it to him? And she got to the oil. And the oil was like, you're an idiot. You have lost your mind. You know, honestly, you might have been able to stretch just another day. You probably could have. You thought you were going to eat the last one today and die, but you know what? You probably could have. But now you're definitely not going past today. You're surely not going past today because you're giving it to this crazy guy. Come up off the street, walking up to you, and then saying, "Thus saith the Lord." Seriously, you know how many "Thus saith the Lords" are out there? Listen, there were a lot of "Thus saith the Lords" in the days of Elijah. And they were false "Thus saith the Lords." A lot of false prophets. He killed about 450 of them. Okay. Just so we understand context. You're crazy, right? Come on. So, but she moved from fear to faith. And in faith, she started to mix. And in faith, she heated up that pan. I mean, think, there's time. It ain't like us, guys. Oh, you want a Popeye? I mean, you want a pop top? No problem. I'll go put it in the toaster. Bam, we microwave it, gone. She's having to put it together. She's having to light those sticks. She's having to let it get warm. And all the while, it's talking, "Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it." You know this is true because, again, you hear things from God all the time. And all of a sudden, you leave the building and all of a sudden, he's talking to you. You keep hanging out with that person thinking, "Man, I really believe God wants to use them to be a part of what I'm doing. But man, geez, seriously? Woo, I don't know." And you're cooking. But she does it. I said she does it. What does she do? She takes that and she goes out to him. Leaves her. I don't know if her boy's with him. It doesn't say. She could have left the child in the house. The child could have been with her. There's no indication the child was with him, you know, because she said, "I mean, me and my son," I mean, he just talked to the widow itself. He could have been there helping gather sick. The Bible doesn't say. Regardless, she has a child that is not eating with her, and she's given to God first. But she's not given to God. She's given to God first. You understand that? She's given to God first, but it's through a person. This is where we miss it a lot of times, is that sometimes for you to activate your faith, you're going to have to give it to God through the person appointed to receive the provision. He didn't say, "Now make it." Because notice he didn't do. David did this one time. David was like, "You know, gosh, I'm so thirsty, man. If I could just have some water from Bethlehem, that would be so amazing." And all of a sudden, his mighty three guys were like, "We whatever the king wants, we doing." And they broke through the enemy line, got him a cup of water, come back, and David was realized the power of his words and how it could have cost his men his lives for something like water. So what's he do? Pours it out. He said, "I'm not going to accept anything that don't cost me something." Now, you thinking those three guys are like, "Seriously? We almost died for that cup of water right there. That's what you're going to do to us?" Right? The man of God didn't say, "Now we're going to give this to the Lord. Stomp on her, burn it all up." Right? No, she watched him eat it. So what do you think took place next? She did what he said, went home. Opened up. Do you think when she went home after he ate that she opened that thing up and it was full of flour and full of oil? Nope. Looked the same. But when she pulled it out and started to mix, I can't tell you that it wasn't empty. But I can tell you the next time they were hungry and they opened it, something was in it. I can't say whether she pulled it out and she made hers and realized there's still something in here. Or she did empty it and it's like it's empty. But then the next day we're hungry. Well, go make us a bread cake. Because now look what it says according to the word, right? Go back to that verse. Well, let's say they're 16. Go stay at 16. It says, so she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted. Didn't say it filled up. It said it wasn't exhausted. Nor did the oil become empty. Didn't say that it filled up. It just said it didn't run out. Which means then, and let me tell you how faith is a lot of times. Faith a lot of times is not about us getting the overflow. Sometimes it will be, but other times it's that you just have the same amount every day when you shouldn't even have that amount today. But it's there today, and that supernatural is there today, and that's God's blessing on that today. And it's like miraculous that it's just the same amount as it was yesterday. Oh my gosh! That's good. But man, we run the risk in our dispensation and what we know about faith and what we know about God and what we love about certain aspects of what God does is that we want spectacular manifestations more than supernatural manifestations. That we want so many fish to get in our net, because if it doesn't fill up, then it ain't God. But you know what? This is what we needed this month. There it is. Now, empty account, and next month comes, and there it is. You know, the Bible didn't say she did, in this case, this widow woman. This widow woman did not prosper in the context that she had stored up wealth. But what she did have was provision nonetheless. Prosperity. Because, you know, prosperity literally means help along the way. She prospered every day. Because when she was resolved, me and my son are going to die, then God showed up. And here's the thing, she knew he was coming. Because he said, I've commanded a widow. So that tells me, when I encounter people, I got to be careful. Just because they may talk fear doesn't mean they're not the answer for me. Now, they can't stay in fear. You can't stay in fear. She could, if she'd have stayed in fear, it's over. He addressed it. Listen, there's something great about you, and we need a shift. Because in the current condition, we're not going to have all that God needs us to have. So I need you to jump over, because here's what God says about you. And some of you are one act away of giving to the Lord in a way. I'm not talking natural giving. It may be, you know, just a commitment to God to be in service all the time. It could be partnering with the vision. It could be going to the next level and being, you know, part of the supportive ministry. It could be doing Kingdom Institute. You've been hearing it for years and now it's time. It could be quitting that job because there's the other one that can't ever manifest because you don't give God the place to make it manifest. And my God shall supply all my needs. Since you don't have the need of a job, he doesn't have to manifest it. But you want to stay in your job until the other one manifests. Instead of, I quit in obedience, now he meets the need. For some, it very well could be financially that the Lord's like, if you'll just give the tithe. 10%, that's all I'm asking, is for a little 10%. You keep the 90. And I'll address you later on the 90 about offerings, but to 10, it's mine, to the Lord, bring it on. And it says, she went and did according. If she didn't do, she wouldn't have. Faith, hearing alone brings faith. Faith came by hearing. The word of the Lord has said, now, because I'm addressing you, I've asked you for some bread and you didn't do it. It's obviously you're afraid. So let's come back and have this conversation. Go ahead and do what you're doing, but let's do this instead. You make me one first, because here's the word of the Lord. He sent me to let you know provision is for me. He commanded me to come that you had it, and he's not going to let your flour or your oil go empty until the rain comes back. That's hearing. But faith working is her actually taking the branches, the sticks, making them burn, putting the pan on it, putting the oil in it, putting the flour in it, cooking the bread, bringing it to him, serving him. Then going back and making for her and her son. And that action of hearing caused it to never be exhausted. According who? Not to Elijah, but to the word of the Lord, which was spoken through Elijah. See, in these last days, we are going to have to keep ourselves stirred up in faith, because fear is rendered powerless when you act on the word of God. He said, don't fear now. Don't fear. I know what it looks like. I need you to hear me, and I need you to do what I say. Amen. If you'll act on that word, your life will never be the same from this moment. Wow. 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 So in the days that are coming ahead for the world, naturally, you have been given an example of what it looks like to stay in faith, but also as faith people, what it looks like when you encounter those in fear that yet may have your provision. Don't discredit it. Don't get upset about it. Help them overcome their fear. Because when they overcome their fear, it's a blessing to your life.
Thanks again so much for listening to this episode. If you'd like to get more of our content, you can subscribe wherever you're listening, whether that's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, etc. You can also watch our weekend messages at youtube.com/anchorfaith when they air every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Subscribe to us so you never miss a message, and leave us a comment or a like. It really does help. You sharing, rating, and commenting on this podcast and any of our content is the best way to keep it in circulation for others to be influenced with this message of God's kingdom. So please consider sending a link to friends and family, sharing on social media, or simply giving us a rating. And finally, if you'd like more information about Anchor Faith Church and support the work we're doing from St. Augustine, Florida, in igniting the city, impacting the nation, and influencing the world, you can visit us at anchorfaith.com.